This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, 6 o'clock in the morning right here on WFAN in the Investors Bank studio. I am Boomer Esiason, along with my man Greg Giannotti this morning from CBS Radio. And for those loyal listeners of the fan, they do know Greg, as Greg is a local boy from, of all places, Belport. I can't believe an East Islip guy and a Belport guy sitting here doing a radio show together. We're going to be together all week long. So good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well. And what do you mean by of all places? I don't understand. You know, is it a bad place?
No, it's not a bad place. You and I, we got history. We got Belport, East Islip history. You know that. And you know the intensity that goes along with that, especially on the football field. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And speaking of the football field, oh my God, we got a million things to talk about this morning. Everything from protests to football games, to great football games, I might add, in the 1 o'clock hour and the 4 o'clock hour yesterday, that were the best of the NFL. And it all started Thursday night, I think, between the Rams and the 49ers, to what the Steelers did to Alejandro Villanueva, their left tackle, who's a former West Point grad and three-tour Afghanistan Army Ranger, to all the different things that were going on across the NFL today. And you wake up this morning and you see it all across the papers. You see it all across the blog sites. Everybody's got something to say. And all of this is in direct response to what I thought was a very cringeworthy speech by President Trump down in Alabama.
Rally style
that made all of what we saw yesterday on the pregame shows, on the football fields, in NBA locker rooms, NFL locker rooms, Major League Baseball, and all athletes, completely predictable in the way that everybody responded.
Yeah, and I think this was the best of the NFL in all ways, from the beginning and through the end. Not only were the games absolutely great, this was the best week that we had of the NFL, but I think everybody's response, outside of a couple of situations, I thought was perfect. And in a weird way, this has united the players, united the players in the NFL. This has woken people up that haven't necessarily had big opinions on this before. What happened with the comments from President Trump and what it's done to the whole community of sports, I think eventually ends up being a good thing. It doesn't feel like it right now because all the divisiveness and people wanting to be angry all the time. But I think eventually we'll look back on this and say, that was the thing that got everybody together on the same page.
Well, I know one thing, Greg. It put everybody in a very, very uncomfortable situation, from Mike Tomlin stumbling through a post-game press conference trying to explain exactly what the hell the Pittsburgh Steelers were doing and why they would leave one of their teammates out there. And a teammate that knows what sacrifice truly is in this country is beyond me. Alex Smith, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, talking about, you know, other comments that have been made out of the White House. It's mind-boggling. And I do believe that we are at the intersection of politics, sports, racial divide, and you name it. And the one thing I will say about an NFL football locker room, it takes all types to play football, and you better understand where everybody is coming from, because you're not always going to agree on things that are happening outside of your locker room. But I think yesterday, from the players, the white players, the black players, the owners who have supported President Trump in his campaign, he has basically made it an untenable situation for everybody. And he's made everybody uncomfortable. And everybody in the NFL reacted the way they did, due in large part, I think, because they want to show that the NFL isn't a bunch of SOBs, as President Trump put it, that there are a lot of good players in the NFL. Yeah, do we have our problems with domestic violence? Do we have our problems with other issues and drugs and guns and all that other stuff? We're not any different than any other faction of life. It's just that we play on Sundays and Mondays and people see us and people hear us. But the far majority of NFL players are dedicated to their communities. They're dedicated to trying to do the right thing. They're dedicated to trying to speak to kids and be a great role model to kids. And I think that was really the impetus to why everybody took a knee yesterday. And I kind of say, while in the beginning, and I still feel this way, it's reprehensible that you would not stand for the flag and the anthem. And that's what's in my heart, and that's how I feel. And I basically held Colin Kaepernick to that point of view where I come from. Yesterday, I knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to be out there. And it's not that I give anybody a pass. It's just that I was not shocked by the way the entire NFL community reacted to the president's comments on Friday night.
I think we need to understand where people are coming from more now than ever. And I think that everybody makes their own assumptions about what a protest means. And you make these leaps to things that it's not about. When people say that you're disrespecting the military by taking a knee, I don't think that any NFL player that took a knee has a disrespect towards the military. I just think that they have a different feeling about what's going on in the country, and we need to listen to that sometimes. And yesterday, I think the knees were in direct response to the comments. It wasn't about anything else.
That's right.
But everybody getting together saying that you're not going to call me an SOB. We are in this together. I'm more than just someone that should be fired for expressing my opinion. So when people get overly offended about the taking of a knee during the national anthem, I mean, let's look into the reasons why. Let's listen to one another, and now let's advance it from here.
Well, you know, it all started with a player wearing pig socks on the practice field.
Well, I mean, that's
where it all started.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, you know, his way of doing things was nuanced and was packaged and messaged, and people started attaching their agendas to him, and that would be Colin Kaepernick. Now we have guys like Marcus Peters and Marshawn Lynch sitting down with either their helmets on or stocking caps on, eating bananas, sitting on top of a cooler, completely disrespectful, and it is totally taking a whole nother turn. But again, I go back to yesterday. Yesterday was response to the president. I always believe that, and I don't know, I'm 56 years old. I've been around for a lot of different presidents, and I've been through a lot of, like most of you out there have been through a lot of different things that we as a country have had to face in the times of trouble. And I always think of a president as somebody who uses language to describe different situations, to calm all of us down, to give us a place to look for hope and feel that we're protected. And that wasn't the case this weekend. You know, I mean, anybody who saw that, unless, of course, you are a fierce Trump loyalist, you had to cringe at the words. You just had to cringe at the words. Just like I cringe when I watch Colin Kaepernick sit on the bench the first time he did it in preseason for the 49ers. I cringed. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go. I can't believe what I'm looking at. So I kind of get both sides of it all, Greg. I just – yesterday was an interesting day in the NFL. Some would say it was a dark day. Some would say it was a day where everybody came together. So internally, there's a lot of support. But at the end of the day, we are a sports station. And what I saw on the field of play yesterday from the players who play our great game of football was really quite entertaining.
Yeah, without a doubt, it was the best week in NFL by far. I mean, the end of the 1 o'clocks, and of course the way that the Giants game ended is something we'll talk about all morning, but everything that was happening towards the end of the 1 o'clock games back and forth was what the NFL is all about. But I just want to mention, you know, a dark day, it was the opposite of a dark day for me.
In your eyes, it may have been, but in other people's eyes, it is. I'm telling you, there are...
But how,
you know
though?
How many people, like, how many people from on Twitter would tweet, you know, and some people I don't even pay attention to because it's obviously coming from a really dark place within themselves. But for the far majority yesterday, you know, of the tweets that I received were NFL fans that are no longer watching the game.
But I can't believe that, though.
Well, but I'm just telling you what I received. That's right. All I'm saying. And the thing about it is that breaks my heart because I've been a part of the NFL family for, what, 30 years now.
You can't believe that these people are turning off the NFL. I don't believe anybody that says that.
Well, the ratings are down. You know, according to the president, the ratings are significantly down. I think the president should look at his ratings as well.
Right.
I mean, talk about ratings are going the other way.
But depending on
who you're talking about. And just so you know, I just want to clear this up because there is somebody on the line right now that's asking whether or not I support kneeling. I do not support kneeling. And if you have listened to me since the first day when Colin Kaepernick did what he did, you know exactly where I stand. What I said yesterday was completely predictable by the NFL players and the NFL community in response to a president that called the players sons of bitches. Are you kidding?
Right, and that's your community. That, I mean, these are your guys.
Right. By the way, you know, he may have been elected because he is not a political machine and he's anything but politically correct.
Right.
All I can tell you is that rhetoric is inflammatory and you are asking for problems. You are opening Pandora's box.
It's unnecessary.
What I thought last week, prior to what the president said on Friday, I thought the whole thing was kind of dying down. And what I have been saying on the NFL today for the last year, and I don't know why I continue to have to say it, and I am friendly with the commissioner of the NYPD, and what he and his force have been working on since he has taken over is community policing methods, trying to create partnerships within all of these different communities where problems have arisen. And we do have police officers who have been executed, and it is horrible. And we deal with that here every single day that it happens. I understand that. The fact of the matter is it's frustrating because people don't think things are getting done. But, yes, things are getting done. It takes time for things to change. And I want to be a football announcer. I want to be a former player who shows up and is proud of his product that he watches every single day. And for the most part, I am. I really am.
Were you proud yesterday of the response from all the teams and the players?
No, no, no. I wasn't proud. I didn't feel any sense of pride. I understood what happened yesterday. Yeah. And I understood why it happened. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that the week before this past weekend, things really started to die down. You know, you had a player here, you had a player there. For some reason, the networks feel like they need to show those players, even though that's one of 46 players in uniform. He's sitting. We got to show it.
Right.
I get it. All right, fine. But it really had started to die down. And then all of a sudden, Pandora's box was opened up. And it was opened up in a number of different ways. It just wasn't the NFL players kneeling for the flag. It was Steph Curry's not invited to or disinvited to the White House. The Warriors are not coming to the White House. Steve Kerr pens an essay to the president. I mean, LeBron James calls him a bum.
Yep.
This one calls him an a-hole. I mean, blah, 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 blah. The whole, it just nonstop.
Yeah, and it's not going anywhere.
So what I'm saying to you over the previous 24 hours, it's obvious why things happened. So I don't
Trumpy McTrump face.
Yeah, whatever. But I don't support kneeling for the national anthem. I never have and never will. As a son of a World War II veteran and the godson of an ensign on the USS Nevada during Pearl Harbor, do you think for one minute that I would ever put myself in that situation, regardless of what somebody else's take on something is? And if I were the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, in this case it's Ben Roethlisberger, so he's trying to balance everything that's going on in their locker room, I would have stood right next to Alejandro Villanueva. I would have locked arms with him, and I would have said, this guy stands for the best of what America has to offer. And unfortunately, you know, he didn't do that for whatever his reason, and his coach put them all in an untenable situation.
Well, that was bad, and that bummed me out in a big way. And I spent some years in Pittsburgh, and when I watched Mike Tomlin have that interview with Jamie Erdahl, and he basically said the reason he was keeping his guys in the locker room is because he didn't want to have them have to make a choice in to either stand or not stand. So you're going to remove yourself from the situation?
He goes, you can't remove yourself from the situation.
We're just here to play a football game. That's great, but things are different now. You have to deal with this. You can't just toss it away and say, well, we're going to remove ourselves, especially when you have a guy who went to Army on your team who has to now stand there in the tunnel. He wasn't even on the field. He stood there in the tunnel. And if there was some real leadership on that team, and you're right, it's not just Ben. There's got to be someone else that says, you know, Villanueva is a guy that we love, and we know he wants to stand. So let him go, and I'm going to go with him. You can't tell us to sit in the locker room the entire time. I mean, Mike Tomlin took it way too far. He's a serious guy. He's a great football coach. But to just try to ignore the situation yesterday and hide his guys in the locker room, I thought that was a coward way out.
Well, and then the Seattle Seahawks, of course, said, well, we stayed in the locker room out of respect for and love for our country. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what that really means. It was a very difficult day. It's a lot of heavy lifting, man. I'm telling you, it's exhausting.
It was a serious NFL Today show, man.
I don't know if I could. It always seems like there's a serious NFL Today show, especially when Charles Barkley shows up at the wrong time. The last time he showed up, it was the whole Adrian Peterson switching situation.
Right.
And he's trying to explain to me why switching's okay. Like, what?
You go outside and you get a stick and then you beat the kid to teach him a lesson. That's the way we did.
city, and you never got beat with a stick, you go get your own switch, Boomer.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly
what you do.
I basically, Charles is terrible. Yesterday, he came on, and he was sitting right there, and even he said, he looked at me and goes, man, I'm always here at the wrong time. It's unbelievable.
Wait, so that wasn't planned? They didn't bring him in, like, last minute?
No, that was planned. He was coming in.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, Friday happened. I actually thought there was a very good chance that he would have backed out, but that's not who Charles is.
Right.
The great thing about Charles Barkley is he has an opinion, and he's willing to give it, and it's fine. I mean, and then, you know, away from all the opinions and all that other stuff, all of us, I mean, we have lots of laughs. We love watching football games.
Right.
He's a huge Eagle fan, so he's, you know, pestering the Giant fans in the studio and everything else like that. So that part of it is, you know, part of it is great.
I just thought they brought him in because he's going to have strong opinions on social matters. That's what I thought.
No. He comes in once or twice a year.
Just to bust chops.
Because he's a huge football fan.
Right, I gotcha.
So it's kind of an interesting, and it brings a different dynamic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that set, you're starting to look like the Supreme Court up there.
Right. So I know exactly how fans out there are going to feel, and I know that we're going to get a ton of calls today on all that. On top of all that, the Jets, what a performance yesterday. And, you know, I felt this way after the first 2 weeks. I don't know if you did, Greg, but they actually looked, you know, competent as a football team, even though they got blown out by Oakland. It was one bad play. It kind of gets snowballed and they get blown out. But yesterday, they put the beat down on Mike Tannenbaum's Miami Dolphins. I mean, beat them down and got after Jay Cutler, got after Jay Ajayi. So whatever was being taught over there from a defensive standpoint, it all resonated with those young players. And those young players came out and they just absolutely had a whale of a football game. And then on top of it, the 38-year-old Josh McCown must be reading TB12. Because whatever TB12 is taken up in New England, it seems like Josh McCown must be taking it down here for the Jets, because he played a pretty efficient game yesterday.
Yeah, it was shocking to me that's the way that game went. Because I watched the Miami Dolphins basically really look like a team that had been together for a long time. And Jay Cutler had been there for a couple of years when they beat the Chargers. And then they were just completely out of sorts. And a Jets defense that was just embarrassingly bad for stretches in the first couple of weeks were flat out great. And I think the bigger story was not so much about the Jets offense and McCown, but how they shut down Jay Ajayi. Now, he was on the injury report. He had a knee issue. Then he got hit.
Well, the Jets came in after 2 weeks being the 32nd ranked run defense.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that they shut that guy down.
30 rushing yards by the Miami Dolphins. That is a tip to the cap to the New York Jets. It's a tip of the cap to Todd Bowles. And I don't know how Jet fans feel about it this morning, but I would think as that game was unfolding yesterday over at MetLife Stadium, I think there had to be like a sense of astonishment, a sense of pride. And at the end of the day, you want your team to win, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that you have to give the Jet fans credit too for being loud. I mean, they were loud, they were happy, they were excited. This is a team, all you heard about was tanking for I don't know how long, and everybody was fired up to see him win,
right.
And they did. So I don't know if this is going to mean that this team is going to be 8-8 as opposed to the 2-14 that we expected, but this was a great day for the Jets and a great day for Todd Bowles, because the more of these games that he puts up in 2017, the better chance he has to stick around and keep his job through the next phase of this, which doesn't look like something that is on the horizon for him right now. But great job for that defense.
I would say that the Jets did not get the memo that they are tanking. So Chris Johnson was right in his assessment saying, we're not tanking. The coaches and players don't think it. And they certainly played that way yesterday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.